Hi everybody, and welcome to Cooking in Real Time. My name is Zora O'Neill, and this week I'm not cooking and I'm not getting into any real kitchen specifics. I just want to give you a little pep talk and do some housekeeping things. So first of all, I am no Barack Obama, but I do want to say stay in school, do a good job, stick with any cooking you might have started. Our lives in the fall, I know mine does, tend to get a lot busier as everyone starts to shuffle out of their little summer coma and then realize that crap actually needs to get done. So work days get longer, it seems. And then all your friends come back from vacation and decide they want to see you, and then your evenings get busier. So just remember, it's your job to resist a little. Set aside a night or two where you will definitely cook. Treat it like a meditation class or a trip to the gym. It's definitely just as good for you and your sense of well-being. So you want to set aside that time for cooking. And if your evenings are feeling tight, just invite your friends over. It is the perfect opportunity to see them. People are always delighted with an invitation like that. And where I live anyway, just inviting somebody over for a weeknight dinner is so bizarre that people are intrigued and they come. So you have an element of surprise on your side, even if you feel like you're not a great cook. And if you're worried about cooking dinner for other people, well, I have a solution for that, and I'll get to that later. If you haven't yet started cooking, if you're just, you've been listening to this podcast off and on and you're like, oh, I'm going to try the pad thai soon, well, now is a good time. I know a lot of people, myself included, kind of let things slide in the summertime. It's too hot to cook, and I'm in and out of town so much, it's hard to get any momentum built up. But they start school in the fall for a reason. The air is nice and cool, days are shorter, everything is just busier and more organized feeling. And there's also some really tasty produce right now. You've still got some tomatoes, you've got some good green things, and the squash are just starting to come in. So there's a lot of stuff to work with out there. And of course, there are school supplies. This is not to be underestimated. I know the idea of the new school year actually kind of makes me a little sick to my stomach, but the idea of new school supplies is always very exciting. So if you want to go out and get a new notebook, go for it and dedicate it just to your notes on cooking. You can cut out recipes and tape them in, recipes you're interested in trying, and then when you make the recipe, you can make little notes. What worked, what didn't, how many portions did it really make? Did you come away trusting the person who wrote the recipe? Do you want to look for more things like that? So it's all about getting a little bit organized and having your school supplies in place. I have a notebook like this, and it is invaluable. And of course, for school, we all need books. There are oodles of new cookbooks out. The fall season is kind of the big cookbook season. As long as you don't go for some huge, big-name, fancy restaurant chef, just get one that looks interesting and cook a few things out of it. If it's new and glossy and it's motivating, that's what matters. I do avoid the crazy, fancy restaurant chef ones, like Thomas Keller or something, because they're never geared for home kitchens properly and for kitchen staffs of one, like we all have. So just avoid those and pick out something else that catches your fancy and work with that. It doesn't have to be your only thing, but it just has to be the thing that inspires you to move into gear. And if your budget doesn't stretch to new books, that's totally fine. Just go to the library and browse and pick out a couple things that look interesting to you. They don't have to be new things at all, just whatever's interesting to you. I have lived on library cookbooks for many, many years. It's a good way of taking something that's expensive and giving it a little test drive and seeing if it's worth it. Anyway, I've mentioned it before, I think, but a subscription to Cooks Illustrated, that also cannot hurt. Sort of like your correspondence course over the rest of the semester, or the rest of the year. It looks like the most boring magazine ever, and it is kind of, if you actually read the text all the way through, but the core of it is fantastic. They are really meticulous there and really thorough. So if they say something, some little extra detail is necessary, then it really is. And they're very quick to say a lot of finicky things are not necessary. And they're great for kitchen gear reviews. Each issue always reviews some kind of essential tool to have in the kitchen. They're good on looking at regular supermarket ingredients, like what's the best brand of canned tomatoes, that kind of thing. Really, really helpful. And the nice thing is it only comes every 2 months, so you won't get overwhelmed. So that wraps up all the school year stuff, what you need to get prepared for the coming year. And back to the issue I mentioned before about inviting your friends over for dinner. I totally encourage you to do it. I know it can seem a little alarming, at first, but it is so much better to cook dinner for two people just to get in the habit of turning on the stove rather than just yourself. Although it's great if you can cook just for yourself because you deserve it and you deserve that little point of pleasure even if you're just eating by yourself. But I know it's kind of hard to get motivated and get out of having cereal or takeout or what have you. So inviting one other person makes you get into gear and just makes it seem a little more festive too. But I know that a lot of novice cooks, the thought of doing this is at least a little alarming, if not totally terrifying. First of all, don't sweat it. Like, anybody is delighted to get an invitation and will be happy whenever you cook them. And the next thing that will help you get out of this is, coincidentally, my cookbook, Forking Fantastic, Put the Party Back in Dinner Party. It's my new cookbook. I wrote it with Tamara Reynolds. It comes out on October 6th, so you can pre-order it now on Amazon. It's basically a cookbook about entertaining that will not make you cry. Tamara and I met in 2002, and right after that, we started cooking dinner together. We'd call each other up and say, hey, I've got this on the stove, want to come over? And perfectly natural thing, which I encourage everybody to do and start at that level. Then we happened to invite some friends and neighbors. Then in a couple of years, it turned into this underground supper club. And now it's like 20 people over for dinner every couple of weeks or so. I don't necessarily encourage you to go that far. It's kind of crazy making. But the initial phase of just inviting your friends over for dinner casually is really the best possible thing you can do. And Forking Fantastic is a guide for that. Helps you get over the initial anxiety of inviting people over. There's a big pep talk section in there. And you'll get down to the goodness of having a truly wonderful dinner party. And honestly, I think dinner parties are the absolute best kind of socializing there is, but unfortunately they've gotten this heinous reputation because of centerpieces and super seasonal this and setting it on a farm and all this stuff that is sort of in the media right now, and you don't need any of the crap that the foodie mafia is trying to suggest you have to have. So that's what Forking Fantastic is about, and in the book there's a whole section dedicated to talking it through for pure kitchen beginners. I think it was a few episodes ago, I went over some novice cooking mistakes. Those were from the cookbook, and there's also info in there about stocking your kitchen, shopping, getting organized, all the stuff to lay the groundwork for a successful dinner, which is not actually all that much effort. And there's, of course, some totally doable recipes in there, and they're all organized with little, what we call plans of attack. So they tell you what order to cook everything in. It's a lot like cooking in real time, but without me droning away in your ear. So, Forking Fantastic, October 6th. Keep an eye out for it. Pre-order it if you haven't already. Another housekeeping issue, partly because of the cookbook coming out and all the publicity I have to do for that, I can't sustain a weekly podcast anymore, unfortunately. And as you gathered over the summer, things have gotten a little spotty anyway. So I'm going to dial it back to once every 2 weeks, I think, and focus almost exclusively on the cooking, not so much on the extra tips. And finally, speaking of the future of cooking in real time, I would so appreciate your support on iTunes. If you haven't done so already, it would be great if you could go over to iTunes, give the podcast a star rating, or write a short review. You don't have to already be downloading the podcast for iTunes or anything like that. You don't have to have iTunes on your computer, but go in there, give it 5 stars if you're so inclined. Write a short review if you want to. That would be great. And if you're in the position to blog or tweet or Facebook or whatever about the podcast, I would so appreciate if you could spread the word. So that's it for Cooking in Real Time this week. I will be back in 2 weeks with a proper dinner cooked all the way through, as is usual. And happy eating in the meantime, and happy back to school.